Hey, hey, hey. Whoa, we gotta let the beat drop because she start cooking when the beat come in. You gotta let her do the little intro. Hey, here it come. Hey. Such a little dance hall is good. Fam, anytime I hear some good dance hall, I just feel like I should be with a nice little brown skin queen with a little drink in my hand doing a little dutty wine. Nah.
What you know about the dutty wine?
Shit.
What you know?
You're only a few years older than me.
Yo, the young folks don't know no. Oh, man, let me tell you, I almost blew my knee out multiple times trying to keep up.
Yo, bro, you know what's funny? I really credit a lot of my music taste to my parents being so young.
Right? Okay,
because you know my mom was like she was like 17 when she had me healthy. My dad was 19 at the time. So you can imagine with my parents basically being 17 years older than me, I'm 20, I turned 27 this year.
Okay.
So my parents are what, 30,
44? Yeah, I was gonna say, something they got about 10 years on me.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And we grew up and it was, you know, because, you know, my dad came from the street. So he was like, yo, I can't have you listening to all this murder, kill so young. Let me start you off with something. So he started me off with dance hall and R&B. And at my core, I do love rap shit, but a good R&B or a good dancehall song? Oh, man.
That's it.
Oh, man. Telling you. Listen, to all you musicians out here, we got to make begging for our significant other cool on records again.
Yes.
We got to make it cool. Too many of y'all are too cool for school. We get it. You might be considered a simp, but listen, I'd rather be a simp making real music than a sucker making I don't need you music, because that's not R&B.
I'd rather be a simp in a warm bed with my lady than a sucker sleeping by myself with some Jergens beside the
talk
bed.
Talk to me. Damn. And while we're also here, you have messed up my porn consumption.
Okay.
Let me tell you people why, because just hearing that is a wild statement. Pods ago, my man came up in here and said, why would you want to watch somebody else get boxed?
Who said that?
You said that.
I did not.
That was your. That's you said that about porn. And
I was talking about strippers. I was not talking about porn.
No, you was not saying that, dog. You said, "Come on now, come on, you got to own it."
No, I
remember you said,
I don't remember that at all.
Now you don't remember. All right. Well, I didn't hear it out of nowhere. Didn't that shit ain't pop out of thin air. No, man, I can't watch nothing. Not even none of my favorites. No, I mean Pinky's a little bit washed, but we talking like.
Pinky's jersey in the rafters. Her cheeks in the rafters.
Oh, bro. Listen, if we're going to talk about Hall of Famers, Pinky's up there. She's like
first ballot.
She's like John Stockton of the porn game. You know what I'm saying?
Would you her, put Sarah J in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. She's like Jerry West. Sarah J is like Jerry West. Like, what are we talking about here? Then let me tell you something. Listen, Elise Ibarra is like Ja Morant. What she could do, you know what? Welcome to the Speak On It podcast. This is episode 99.
Great intro.
One away from 100. Who wore 99 in their time?
Say what?
Who wore 99 during their time?
Warren Sapp wore 99. Shout I think Reggie Warren. White. No, Reggie White wore 92. Pretty sure Warren Sapp wore 99.
It's funny. It's funny because of Warren Sapp's off the field issues that we don't recognize him as one of the greatest defensive interior defensive.
You're right. Ever. So let's go to TJ. I mean, JJ Watt wore 99.
Oh, shout out to the future Hall of Famer.
First ballot
Hall of Famer, JJ Watt. You know what's crazy between the NFL and the NBA? You know how many first ballot NFL Hall of Famers don't have rings?
A lot.
And that's like very common versus the NBA. Like some people struggle to make first ballot Hall of Fame because of their postseason accolades or lack thereof.
It's crazy because I feel like anyone can get in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Maybe because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Hall of Fame. So I don't know. I don't know. I feel like being an NFL Hall of Famer, your probably height was bigger. But as a Basketball Hall of Famer, your longevity was better.
Yes, I would agree with that. It's so hard to get into the Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be, like, that dude.
Yeah. Even, like, even right now, if you were to just think about players that are playing right now that are for sure first ballot Hall of Famers, you probably wouldn't get past 10.
That's a, you know what, that's a great exercise. Let's give it a shot. We got a couple seconds, so I would say...
Patty, Aaron.
Yeah, Patty, Aaron, Russell.
Russell who?
Wilson.
Westbrook?
Wilson.
Russell Wilson. Fuck out of here.
He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
For what?
Russell will be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
For what? One ring off of defense and many, many years after that, just stinking up the joint after week 7?
Okay, okay. Do you think DeAndre Hopkins?
Yes.
AJ Green.
Too much elite wide receiver play with bad QBs for him not to make first ballot.
Do you think, I think AJ Green is still in Arizona. Do you think he makes the Hall of Fame?
Not first ballot.
Okay. We're talking about first ballot Hall of Famers. Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, the two Kelce brothers. First ballot Hall of Famers.
First ballot. Julio, if he's still playing, that's first ballot.
Yeah. Julio, Mike Evans, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep. Way too many 1,000-yard seasons in a row. Yep, I agree with that. I think
he hasn't had a season that hasn't been 1,000 yards.
Yep. Between quarterbacks and wide receivers, let's see.
Aaron Donald, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep, Aaron Donald. You know what's even funnier? Name me a running back right now you would say first ballot Hall of Famer.
None. There hasn't been one since Frank Gore.
Yo, people. Is it not insane how the NFL completely devalued one entire position by themselves because they simply did not want to pay that position?
Insane. There's got to be.
I've never seen nothing. They have nobody but the NFL devalued running backs, but the NFL.
There's got to be an edge rusher that we're not thinking about, or a corner that we're not thinking about.
Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, Stephon Gilmore. First ballot Hall of Fame.
Because he won Defensive Player of the Year.
He's a Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champion.
He'll probably get in.
That's it. It's hard.
No, and we got to be forgetting some offensive linemen in there,
Offensive linemen, of course.
Lane Johnson, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Lane Johnson. What's his name? Trent Williams.
Trent Williams. Travis Frederick in Dallas, first ballot Hall of Famer. Quentin Nelson in Indianapolis, first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm drawing some blanks here.
It gets a little. Yeah, you can think of some centers out here who might be good. David Bakhtiari, I might say.
Yeah, David Bakhtiari might be one. I know I'm missing some other centers, but yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, I'm telling yo, it is. If you make the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you was one of them dudes.
You was that dude.
One of them dudes. And shout out to you. If you make the Basketball Hall of Fame, you still one of them dudes. I just think, like, when you think of some of the players, like, put it like this. How many NBA first ballot Hall of Famers are playing?
Oh, you can easily get to, I feel you easily get to 10 or 15.
You can get to 10 just off the playoffs alone. You can get to 6 just in the Clippers-Suns first round matchup.
Yeah.
CP3, KD, Westbrook.
Kawhi.
Was Paul George part of the top 75? Was he a top 75 player?
I don't think so. Paul George is a – he'll get in, but he won't be first ballot. I don't think he'll be first ballot.
Unless he gets a ring, then he'll probably be first ballot.
Unless he gets – yeah. Yeah, Bron, AD, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm. Steph, Clay, Draymond, three. Steph,
Clay, Draymond. Do you think Jimmy Butler would be first ballot?
Yeah.
You think Jimmy Butler's a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Giannis.
That's another one. Telling you.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Here's a good one. Al Horford. Do you think? I don't think he's first, but he will get in. But I don't think he's a first ballot.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It also depend on who else is coming out with him.
That's true. Joel Embiid, probably first ballot Hall of Famer.
Joel and Jokic, both first ballot.
Jokic, yep. No matter how much I hate on Jokic, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I'm telling you. Like, there's I'm saying longevity in basketball is like a huge thing, which is also why I go back to why I really struggle with why people cannot wrap their minds around Bron being the greatest of all time just off of longevity alone, dog. We can talk about it when we talk about the NBA, but if you watch the game last night, it's like Yo, fam, we are talking about a dude in his 20th season being the best player on the floor. That's unreal.
20 and 20.
Yeah, 20 and 20. We're going to talk about it. Danny, go ahead. Tell the people where they can find the podcast and any other housekeeping items. And before we do that, Kyle, my guy, what's good? Up, Kyle, we are almost at episode 100. And Kyle, you have been here just about every episode. So much, much love to you, brother. Hope you're doing well.
What he said. As always, the show is brought to you by GoingForTwo.com. Head over to GoingForTwo.com for all your fantasy needs. The draft is coming up. Your redraft leagues, we're a little away from that. Your dynasty leagues are probably coming up. So head over to GoingForTwo.com for all your coverage during the draft. Speaking of the draft, there will be coverage all 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I believe Thursday and Friday start at 7, and I do not know when the Saturday coverage starts. Forgive me. But D, you and I are opening draft coverage Friday night from 7 to 8. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We'll talk about day one picks. We'll talk about picks in real time. We'll talk about what our teams are doing. I'm sure some people will jump in. We're gonna have a lot of fun on Friday. Really looking forward to it. Tonight we're gonna have some fun. Your goat is gone. He is a J-E-T-S, Jets.
Yes, he is.
Talk about the draft. We'll see. We got some NBA playoffs. We got some NHL playoffs. The finale of Snowfall was last week. Woo! For the record, I haven't watched Snowfall, but I did find a YouTube channel that recapped each season, so I understand. I know what happened. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You got the Cliff Notes version of Snowfall.
Dog,
you
know, I do that all the time. These shows are 5 seasons, 10 to 13 episodes, an hour each. That is a long time. I can watch one hour video that tells me what happens from A to Z, and then I can go on YouTube and watch clips that I'm interested in. I do it all the time.
True enough. I struggle because I really don't like knowing outcomes of TV shows or movies before I watch it. Like, I want to come in completely blind, because I want to see if you can impress me. Okay. Sometimes I feel like I'm a hard person to impress. So I don't know.
I could see that. Yeah. Well, we'll get to Snowfall in a couple of minutes, but first, it finally happened, D. I'm going to read the notes verbatim because I could feel your spirit when I was reading this last night. It finally happened.
Oh,
it finally fucking happened. Aaron Rodgers has been traded to the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. So the deal is the Jets get Rodgers, pick 15, a fifth rounder in this year's draft. Green Bay gets a 13, so the Jets and the Packers swap picks. The Packers also get a second rounder, a sixth rounder, and a conditional second rounder next year that'll turn into a first rounder if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps, which is essentially it's going to be a first rounder unless it's an absolute disaster. D, this is going to be ISO. What are your thoughts? Do you feel one team won over the other? And then we'll talk about that 13th pick in a minute. Let's just start with your initial reaction.
If y'all follow me on IG, you would saw the clip of Tyrese that I posted yesterday, because that was dead ass my original response. I was crying and I was like, congratulations, Jets! Congratulations! Because I was like, damn, my goat is really gone. Like, if you're a Patriots fan, I want you to really extend some empathy, because I know you kind of feel what I'm feeling. If you're a Falcons fan, when Matt Ryan left, I want you to extend some empathy, because I bet you know what I'm feeling right now. When a cornerstone player, especially at a position like QB, leaves your franchise, there's a little bit of an emptiness feeling, because he was your anchor. This is a guy that you knew 16, 17 games out of the season was going to be there. You always had a chance with him leading your franchise. Obviously, he comes out, he says he wants to trade, so you know the end is near. My initial thoughts completely flipped when I saw the draft compensation we got backed. Because then I said, oh, wait a minute. Because then I took my emotional hat on and put my logical GM dynasty hat on. So let me break it down to y'all, just for you dummies out here who want to believe the Twitter narratives. You had a 39-year-old quarterback, clearly past his prime, very, very, very on the fence about whether he even wanted to continue playing, comes out and says, not only does he want to play, he doesn't want to play for your team. So you think about that. If you're the Packers and you're saying, okay, well, if he says he wants to play for this team and this team only, this team doesn't have no leverage. We got the leverage because y'all want this trade to happen. Clearly, we can sit back. We'll take we'll eat that $50 million in dead cap space if we have to, get $50 million on the bench. But y'all don't want that to happen. So now y'all are going to adhere to our trade. Now, originally, y'all remember when I first heard this, I said, if I'm the Packers, I want your best player. The Packers looked at it and said, well, they're not going to trade their best player because maybe they don't want, maybe we don't want to take on that, take on the contract. But we can definitely get, we can definitely work out a way so that the cap comes off of us once we trade him. And we hopefully can trade up and get the guy that we want to get to help build our team. We got a young team, but we're not rebuilding though. That's what the GM said. We're not rebuilding.
Hey, we're not rebuilding.
We are not rebuilding.
The NFC is weak.
Exactly. So when I look at that, okay, so for a, so you trade your aging Hall of Fame quarterback, you trade your first round pick, and you trade a fucking fifth rounder. That's a shot in the dark whether that's going to be a good player or not. You don't know. It could be a special teams player. And in return, you're telling me we get to move up two spots in the draft. We get a second, their second rounder, and a sixth rounder, and the most important part of the deal, which a lot of you dummies, I'm not going to say dummies, a lot of people out here are overlooking, is the fact of this conditional trade. At worst, it's a second round pick. If you know anything about the Packers in the second round, we don't miss in the second round. And if he plays 65% of the snaps, which he will, if Carson Wentz can play 65% of the snaps that year, Aaron Rodgers can play 65% of the snaps this year. And that second turns into a first. So, and on top of that, one other thing. The Jets were worried. The Jets wanted the draft compensation in case Aaron Rodgers played for a year and retired. So we said, okay, if he plays 65% of the snaps, that second becomes that first becomes a second. If he doesn't play 65% of the snaps, if he does, which we think he will, that 65% turns into a first rounder. But nowhere in there are the Packers punished if Rodgers decides to walk away after this year. As long as he plays that 65%, it does not matter. Listen, listen, in my opinion, I'm looking at the draft capital we got back. As long as the Packers don't fuck up pick 13, we are going to win. I think we are going to come out in the long run very happy with this trade. Very happy with this trade. Listen, what the fuck are you supposed to do when your best player essentially says he doesn't want to play? You got to trade him. You got to trade him.
Yep.
Now, you have to try to maximize on what you can get for him. I think as long as they don't fuck up with pick 13, we're winning. We're winning. Kyle, thank you. Kyle just said, Packers lose the trade if they move up two spots to take a tight end. Listen, if they move up two spots to take a tight end, Lord pray for this TV over my right shoulder or my left shoulder if you're watching, because it might be coming down. It might be coming down. I really might hurt this TV if they move up two spots, take a tight end. I think the writing is on the wall. If Jackson Smith and Njaba is there, don't even think. I don't care what our wide receiver room looks like. If Jackson Smith and Njaba is there, you take him and you figure it the fuck out from there.
Do you think he'll be there 13?
I do.
Okay. I do too.
I really do. I think teams are going to move up because they want quarterbacks. I think a team like the Seahawks, they don't need a quarterback. They really don't need a wide receiver. They're going to take
Jalen Carter, and I'm going to be very upset.
You know what I'm saying? There's a team in the first round that needs an offensive lineman. They're going to take that. Who, I don't know who's picking at 11?
Titans.
The Titans?
Titans are at 11.
What, the Titans don't need a wide receiver. They took one last year. So they're either going to take a quarterback. Listen.
Oh, that's a good point, Kyle. Kyle said that the Packers will have to trade to get him because Houston will probably take him at 12. I don't know, though, because if Houston doesn't draft a quarterback at 2, like if they like Will Levis, I mean, this is the stupidest strategy I think I've ever heard. We're at 2. There's a guy that we like, but we're going to pass on him because we think we can get him 10 picks later is an awful strategy.
Yeah, no, I've never understood that strategy.
It'll work, but that's too much of a risk. If there's a guy, you like him, you take him. But back to the Packers, I'm sorry.
No, you're making a very valid point. Listen, I just think, to Kyle's point, if the Packers have to trade up to get Jackson Smith Njigba, because, you know, Houston might be taking him at 12, I'm sitting here looking at the draft capital that we have. Yeah, we have a lot of draft picks this year. Yeah. We could definitely trade a couple of those picks to move up to get Jackson Smith Njigba if that's what we really want. I'm saying this. Packers, listen. If y'all fuck up pick 13, then I'm just going to question, why the fuck did we even make the trade? Yeah. These other picks, 207, the conditional pick for next year, that's cool. We can figure that out. You cannot mess up pick 13. Like, you cannot mess up pick 13.
Kyle asked another interesting question. Will the Eagles trade back to 13? It depends. I think the Eagles are eyeing Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith. So if Jalen slips past Seattle at 5, Howie's going to be on the phone. If Jalen Carter is gone and Nolan Smith, if they think they can get some Nolan Smith at 13, which they probably could if Tennessee's 11, Houston is 12, and if Houston takes Will Anderson at 2 or whoever at 2, and they think they can get, you know, Nolan at 13, I'm sure they would.
Who do you think the Packers take at pick 13?
That's a great question. I like the JSN pick. But, I mean, like, what do you guys need, right? Like, you guys need offensive line help.
I think we can use a little bit of offensive line depth. We do need some tight end help. I don't think you addressed that at pick 13.
I would say tight end depth,
offensive line depth. And then, I mean, the Packers are a team that likes taking defensive players. If you've seen, you know, their last couple of drafts, they obviously think they want to lead with defense. I'm definitely okay with taking like another defensive lineman. You can never have too many good defensive linemen. If they take a linebacker, I'm losing my shit.
There's no linebacker worth that pick this year.
Either take a monster edge rusher, or you take Jackson Smith and Njigba. I'm on the side of taking Jackson Smith and Njigba, and because I'm looking at a wide receiver room with Jackson, with Christian Watson, and Romeo Dubs, AJ 33 in the backfield, and you tell me if that offense don't sound like it could be something in a few years.
It could be something.
So,
I'll say about the whole Aaron Rodgers of the Jets thing is, I feel so bad for Zach Wilson. Like, they have thrown his own teammates. Like, as soon as, like, Sauce has been lobbying for Aaron Rodgers all offseason, and as soon as the trade gets done, him and Breece Hall change their Twitter profile pics to Aaron Rodgers at Cal. And if you're Zach Wilson, you're probably like, damn.
It's like, he's like, yeah, it's like that.
What did I do to make these dudes so mad?
No, that's exactly. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I would like to go a little bit more on the Jets. I don't want people to think I'm hating on the Jets when I give this take either, even though I know I'm a Packers super fan. I know I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I see the Jets being better than they were last year. I don't know if them being better than they were last year really moves the needle in terms of where they're going to be in the AFC. And we've talked about this before. I struggle to see where a team like the Bills, where a team like the Dolphins, where a defense like the Patriots looks at the Jets and said, this is going to be a problem.
Like, they might be the second or third best team in their division. Like, this,
I still think they're the third. I literally think they're tied at three. I think they're tied at three. Like, I don't think there is no worst team in the division in the AFC East. I think it goes the Bills. I think it goes the Dolphins, and then the Patriots, and the Jets just got to figure out which one of them really hates that division the most.
But even in like the totality of the AFC. Like, it doesn't. You got Josh, Pat, Justin, Joe, Lamar. Like, you,
Trevor.
Like, you got a murderer's row. And Aaron ain't no slouch himself, and he has Garrett Wilson, and he has Breece Hall. Like, it's a great offense.
Breece Hall is coming off an injury, guys. So, too many of y'all, respectfully speaking, are too. Breece Hall is just going to be right back to where he was. That's not how bad knee injuries go, by the way, guys. And I wish Breece Hall the speediest of recoveries, but How many people have you seen outside of Adrian Peterson tear a true ligament in their knee and come back the next year the same animal?
Adrian Peterson should have been tested. That's not human. Like he that's not human. Nah, dog. Some different.
Like I want to believe that the Jets are a better football team than they were, because they are. They are a better football team than what they were before the trade. I'm sitting here just saying, in the totality of the I'm thinking that in the Jets' mind, they're seriously saying we are just a QB away. We're just like we've been they're probably saying we've been in all these games. All these games are close, and our QB play was ass. Imagine if we get better QB play, and we can't still be ass. And now I'm like, all right, well. Tell me where the receiving core in New York is significantly better than the one in Green Bay.
Oh, I think Garrett Wilson is head and shoulders better than any receiver.
I'm not talking about the receiver core from last year, because we had a guy who in his 18th, 17th year playing with rookies. Take last year off the table. I'm talking about take last year off the table. I'm talking about when we had Devontae. Where's the height of Aaron Rodgers? Last MVP season, right? That was a lot of Devontae. Alan Lazard is the second. And then Aaron Jones is pretty much our third best wide receiver.
I mean, right? Yeah, because so now he has Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. Corey Davis is your two. Alan Lazard is your three.
Now they have Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard.
I mean, it's comparable.
But it's not.
Aaron, don't text pictures of your genitals unsolicited to female staff members.
Well, that's just not for Aaron. That is for any human.
That is true.
Please do not show your meat, you little meat bastard.
Unsolicited. This is just a Gator Jay's comment of Aaron Rodgers following Brett Favre's footsteps. Oh, yeah. Don't follow that footstep. But yes.
And history repeats itself. Listen, you know what's the funny thing about football? Would you say in football there's such things as super teams?
To a degree, it's harder because there's so many positions and it's – but, yeah, I think you can have a low – I wouldn't call them super teams. I would say a team is loaded in football. I would not call it a super team.
Okay. So what – let me say this then. It's impossible. Okay, you know how in basketball a super team changes the whole dynamic of the league. When KD went to the Warriors, changed the whole dynamic of the league. Rodgers, in football, there's no such thing as that really happening.
It's hard. It's damn near impossible.
So with that being said, to all you Jets fans out here that saying this year is the year, Super Bowl or bust, I think you got to temper expectations, dog. You know the last Super Bowl or bust team that I saw? The Buffalo Bills. Mm. And you know what happens to the Buffalo Bills?
They bust.
At home, heavily favored, Joe Burrow then came in and put their foot up your ass. Game wasn't even close. There was no doubt who was the better team when it was all said and done.
Hey, when Joe Shiesty hit that pass in warm-ups and he turned away and looked at the camera, that was a wrap.
And that's why I really, if you're a New York Jets fan, this is not me hating. I'm saying temper your expectations just a smidge.
Just a smidge. Gator said that he sees the Packers getting Jackson Smith. Gator D is on the same page as you that the Packers are getting Jackson.
I think so. I think so too, because what the fuck did you move up two spots for? Either you're going to take the best defensive lineman available, which I'm okay with, or you're going to take the best wide receiver available and Jackson Smith. And I don't even see where else they would take that pick.
I'm with you.
Take an offensive tackle.
Hey, you got to protect Jordan Love. Don't get. I never get upset when offensive linemen get first round picks. Never. You went through the trenches.
Then I would say, why not take the Jets' best offensive lineman?
I mean, the Packers got the best deal they could have possibly gotten, considering the circumstance.
You can find offensive line depth if you need it. You cannot find star wide receivers everywhere off the market.
That's true.
That's just my thoughts.
I mean, you're right. You're right. I, as someone who is a Howie Roseman disciple, I'm a very firm believer. If the Eagles took an offensive tackle at 10, we don't need an offensive tackle, but I get it. Yes.
Yeah, like certain positions, it just makes sense to just draft for depth. Offensive and defensive line just makes sense because those are usually positions that get hurt the most and the quickest.
So
we'll see.
We'll see.
Ready to talk a little basketball?
Let's do it. Let's talk to the Eastern Conference. So last night, Jimmy Butler dropped, was it 55 or 56? He dropped 56, and now the Heat have a 3-1 lead over Milwaukee. The Celtics lead the Hawks 3-1. I don't think anyone is shocked there. They can close the series tonight. I think they're playing right now. Sixers sweep the Nets. No one was surprised about that. They're waiting the winner of Boston, Atlanta. And the Knicks, the New York Knickerbockers, are up 3-1 on the Cavs, and they play tomorrow night in Cleveland. D, out of the teams that are still playing, who punches their tickets to the next round? Was there any team that's won or lost in the East that's surprising you?
Ooh, okay. Let's start with that second question. Any teams that won or lost since we last recorded that surprised me? I think I got to start after last night. Milwaukee. What the fuck is going on? Like, what is going on? Listen. So I found out, I was chatting with one of my homies last night about Phil Jackson. I'm going to bring this full circle.
Okay.
Chatting with one of my homies last night. He's a Laker fan too. We're chatting about Phil Jackson. We're chatting a little bit about some of Phil Jackson's old coaching philosophies. And Phil Jackson used to believe, he used to believe in not calling a timeout when teams are going on a run, because he always said that, one, basketball is a game of runs, and two, usually when runs like that happens, the team, players, got themselves into that hole. And so he'll take a timeout when it's clear the bleeding needs to stop, right?
Okay.
But, like, he wouldn't, like, when a team really starts going on, like, a 6-7, 8-0 run, he's not just going to call a timeout, because basketball is, as he says, a game of runs. And while I do understand that, sometimes you got to stop the fucking bleeding. Sometimes you got to stop the bleeding. Now, why are you mentioning Phil Jackson in a conversation about the Milwaukee Bucks, Darius? I'm going to bring this back full circle.
I'm right here with you.
So last night, I watched Coach Budenholzer try to do his best Phil Jackson impression. This is the problem, Coach Bud. You have one ring. Phil Jackson has a lot more. A lot more. You see one dude quite literally willing his team to win. Nobody else is even scoring. It is literally one guy who has basically said, this team's not going to lose. At some point, you have to call a timeout.
Yes.
When I found out after the end of the game, he had 3 timeouts left.
Crazy.
And he didn't call one. You realize that all he has to do is call one timeout, get his team together, let the crowd settle down a little bit, then tell his team, yo, let's just get back into our half-court offense, and let's try to just grind this one out and use the clock. Still didn't call the timeout. So, listen, the Milwaukee Bucks have me very, very just shocked, because I think me and you were talking, it should be a foregone conclusion that it should be Milwaukee versus the winner of the Celtics and the Sixers to who's going to go to the NBA Finals representing the East. Now I'm like, there's no way. Okay, let's just say the Bucks are going to win game 5 because they're at home. Their backs against the wall. How the fuck are y'all going to come to Miami and win that game 6?
The Dallas
Giannis
Mavericks.
Got a bad back already. Middleton, while he's played well, he's been shaky. Drew Holiday, he's been a little shaky these last couple games.
I'm so glad the Dallas Mavericks not be the only team, one seed that's lost to an 8 seed. That'll be nice. I'm with you. I am stunned. There is a world where the New York Knicks could be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Because they're going to go play the winner of Knicks-Cavs is going to play the winner of Heat-Bucks. Like, we live in a world where Jalen Brunson goes from the conference finals in the West to the next year in the conference finals in the East, which is amazing.
And Dallas didn't want to pay him. Hey, that's crazy.
Call FBI, arrest Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah, they're on the line.
For me, that's the biggest story. Like, the other stuff, The Knicks, I mean, it's the 4-5 matchup, so I'm not too shocked. Sixers sweeping the Nets, not shocked. What else we got? Yeah, then it's – I don't care how bad Giannis's back is, and I get that it's bad. Like, that team is good enough with the 50% Giannis to beat the Heat. The Heat barely made it into the play-in, and here we are.
They're one game away from knocking out the number one overall seed in the playoffs.
Crazy. Like, do we have a conversation about Giannis?
No. Ain't no conversation to be had about Giannis. He's solidified. He's stamped. Yes, he is. I think after this year, like, depending on the outcome of this series, I think if you're a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, you really got to ask yourself about Coach Bud. You really got to ask yourself about Coach Bud.
We should have been talking about Bud, but he won that.
He's got a ring. When you win a ring, that gives you a few years of leeway.
But before he won that ring, stuff like this happened to him all the time. And then he won that ring, and we've backed off. But we back, baby. We back, Coach Bud. I
would say some other thoughts that I had going back to the Knicks. Listen, man. Knicks, if y'all end up playing the Heat next round, I want y'all to know it is not going to be as sweet as y'all think it is. I see a lot of Knicks fans saying y'all just going to walk all over the Nets. I mean, not the Nets, the Heat. If they end up knocking out the Bucks, I'm going to let y'all know now. Listen, the Heat are not the Cavs. They show up to play, and they're very well coached. Y'all not getting that shit off.
Can we have a Donovan Mitchell conversation? Can we finally have this conversation about Donovan Mitchell? Can we do it? Can we have this conversation now?
It's definitely gonna look a little tough on Donovan Mitchell.
Cause Sunday he was building a house.
It was rough. It was Brick City. It was straight Brick City. Man, it's tough. It's really tough because on paper, you look at the Cavs and you say, "Oh, this is a really good team. They won over 50 games." Mm-hmm. But
here's the thing about against Cavs. The Knicks,
and it's all about matchups. And to Kyle's point on why, like, not sure why the NBA doesn't recede. There's no need. There's no need. You play all these teams 4 to 6 times a year, depending on, 3 to 5 times a year, depending on who they are. There's no need to recede. You are where you are. You didn't play 82 games for them to reseed. You play 82 games to get where you are. And most of the time, the 8 seed doesn't beat the 1 seed. Like, this doesn't happen.
Yeah. This is a fluke.
Doesn't happen. So let's get into the West, because the West is about to be wild.
One more thing about Cleveland. I think Cleveland's issue is they have two guys that do the same thing. Like, you have Jared Allen
and
Evan Mobley who do the same thing. And then you have two undersized guards in Donovan and Garland. Uh-huh. Like, have to make a tough decision this all. Like, you can't do that in the playoffs. Like, Jared Allen's probably going to get traded, and you're going to have a serious conversation about what to do with Garland, because you can't have two undersized guards like that.
Yeah.
So let's jump in the West, though.
Sir.
Whew, buddy, the West is absolutely wild. So the Nuggets leave the Timberwolves 3-1. I don't think anyone is shocked. Game 5 is tonight in Denver. I think we can say with confidence that Denver is going to close that out. The Lakers of Los Angeles are up 3-1 with Game 5 in Memphis on Wednesday. The Kings and Warriors are tied 2-2. They play Game 5 tomorrow in Sacramento. And then the Clippers are down 3-1 to the Suns. And Game 5 is tonight in Phoenix. D, I have a feeling where you're going to go with this. Who's going to punch their ticket to the next round? And outside of the Lakers, which team has impressed you the most?
I just want to play people something real quick.
Okay.
Just so they don't forget. Lie detector said that's a fucking lie, Ja. I'm fine in the West. Lake Show. Let me get that out the way. Danny, I know you got. You might have to ISO on this one. Your team didn't make the playoffs.
Yo, what the fuck, dog? Yo,
you're right. All right, I didn't mean. I'm pow pow. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm gonna start off last night. We alluded to this a little bit earlier. Listen, Dylan Brooks, your team is looking at you dead in the eyes, and they're just asking you, why the fuck did, of all players and all teams, did you have to call out the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James? He only went to 8 straight finals. He's only the all-time leading scorer in the regular and postseason. I don't respect anyone to this, give me 40. Then he gave you 20 and 20. The Grizzlies are in trouble. The Grizzlies are in trouble. Let me tell you how I know they're in trouble. Last night was not the best game I've seen the Los Angeles Lakers play. Matter of fact, it was a frustrating game by all stretches of the imagination. And we still pulled that one out. That's just telling me not only are the Lakers the better team here, Memphis, as young as they are, they're still struggling to learn how to win in the playoffs. Let me tell y'all something. The Sacramento Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies got two of the worst draws as 2 and 3 seeds that you could possibly ever imagine. Imagine, people, you are the 3 seed and you just broke a 15-plus year playoff drought to get the defending champions first round. Imagine you're a second-seeded team. You've won over 50 games, and you draw LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers first round, 3 years removed from them winning their last championship.
And then you have the audacity to say, yeah, that's who I want. I want LeBron. Yeah.
Listen, It's really tough because between the Grizzlies and the Kings, you have two young teams that everyone was very excited for them to meet. And they just thought that because they was their teams, respective teams were just running through teams in the regular season, that they were just going to be able to run through these veteran championship winning teams that have been here before, played in the playoffs, and know what it's like to make adjustments, to have time between games to rest bodies. They're in trouble.
Well, Sacramento still has a chance. It's 2-2.
I think the Warriors got them figured out, dog.
It's the best out of 3.
You're right.
And 2 are in Sacramento.
Let me tell you why I think what I'm thinking right now. I think that win, that game 4 win, 1-point win, I think that hurt some souls in Sacramento.
Yeah.
That's the type of game you lose, and it's in the back of your mind, but the other team, they're chomping at the bit. The Warriors are literally saying, we didn't play our best game, and we still beat them. Let's go to Sacramento, put together warrior-like basketball, and make them have to come back to San Francisco to try to continue their season. That's crazy pressure. That pressure in itself with Sacramento, knowing that if we do not lose this, we got to go back to Oracle or the Chase Center and try to beat them there. That is crazy pressure. Not all teams know how to deal with that. I know there's some Sacramento teams that are currently shitting their pants right now. That's tough. That's a tough position to be in for a young team, first time in the playoffs and in a 15-year playoff drought. They have nothing to even go off of. They just got to go out there and hoop. They don't know what they don't know.
Yeah. For me, it's Anthony Edwards. You deserve better.
Oh, God, yes.
You deserve better than your power forward. This dude's dueling
with Jamal Murray by his damn self out there. What the fuck is Cat and Rudy out there doing?
Rudy gave you 19 the other night. I think that's all you can expect out of Rudy. Like, if I get over 15 from Rudy, 15 and 10, that's a good night for Rudy. Carl Anthony Towns, my brother, stop shooting the threes. Like, you are 7 foot. Go get some boards. That man turned. You know, he needs to play with Tom Thibodeau. Like, Thibs would end that in a heartbeat. Oh, you shooting a 3? Run some suet. Run till you don't want to shoot ever again. Thibs or run that man into the dirt. I don't ever want to see you shoot a 3.
Why is it that when basketball fans talk about a coach that's just going to make you do some shit you don't want to do, they always start with Thibs?
Thibs, dog. Thibs seems like the – or you know what? Like, can you imagine Cat – in Miami with Spoelstra And Pat Riley walks downstairs and sees Cat shooting threes and is like, yo, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, Pat walking over there. Pat walking up to Eric Spoelstra and saying, if I see him on that perimeter taking more than two a game of these, me and you're going to have a problem.
I don't think he would have to have that conversation with Eric because Eric would be in the same boat. Yeah, you right, Pat.
You motherfucking right. Listen.
He going to get his big ass on that block. He here to get rebounds.
And you know what? This is where I think the regular season really throws people off. Minnesota had a winning record against winning teams in the regular season, losing record against losing teams in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Now they can't get a win versus they. I mean, they're probably going to get gentlemen swept by the Nuggets. A lot of the Nuggets, who were the 1-1 seed that everyone was like, these guys are sweet.
Like, Jokic walks out there and sees Carl and is like, oh, it's food.
Yeah.
We good over here.
He over there, like, he looking at Rudy Gobert like, yeah, you doing all this yipping and yelling, talking about defense. Brother, I got 40 on you. What are you talking about?
40. Like, an easy 40. Jokic does make it look easy. I will say that. Like, you look up and it's like, he has how many points? He does.
His game, it don't look like he's trying. Next thing you know, he got 15, 10, and 7. He's like, excuse me.
Like, I remember the other game, he had like 11 in the first quarter. I was like, where the hell he get 11 points?
Oh, man. I'm about to put on my Republican hat. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. I feel like you about to know where I'm going. Steve Ballmer, get your money back immediately. Steve Ballmer, send them a PO to pay you back. I know Steve Ballmer, between the Mets and the Clippers, he is sitting there wondering, how fucking hard is it to win a championship in pro sports? And why can't none of these teams that I paid billions of dollars for seem to do it? The Mets fizzled out. Couldn't stay healthy. Fizzled out. But the Clippers, dog, I know he's sick as hell.
So,
son, let me paint the picture for everyone who may not be as knowledgeable. So Steve Ballmer is the owner of the Clippers. Also owns a few other sports teams. Back maybe like 3 years ago. 3 years ago, when Kawhi, it was the big summer of free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard basically held the Clippers hostage. He told them, if y'all don't go out and get Paul George, I'm going to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers, and y'all are going to be very upset because y'all are going to continue to be the laughingstock of the NBA. So guess what the Clippers go out and do? They go out and sign Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And everyone
for Paul George. They gave a king's ransom for Paul George.
Right. They gave up the king's ransom for Paul George, including Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was this year nominated for Most Improved Player. Want to let that be known. So they send Shai to OKC, get draft picks. They get Paul George and a few other, maybe they got a few players back with that. Son, during this time, they have been to one conference championship. They lost. They lost that conference championship. They have blown a 3-1 lead.
Yep.
Maybe they've blown the 3-1 lead to the Mavs. And this year, they're likely going to get the gentleman swept to a Phoenix team that, after game one, everyone was saying there's no way in hell the Clippers could lose to this Phoenix team, even though Phoenix has Kevin Durant. That's how great Kawhi Leonard looked game one. That was also the same game that Kawhi Leonard supposedly injured his knee, sprained his knee, tried to play through a game two. And now look at him. No Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard. And now you're asking a team led by Russell Westbrook. Respectfully, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not going to put no dirt on his name. Led by Russell Westbrook. Now you're going to ask Russ to lead you versus KD, D-Book, DeAndre Ayton, and CP3. And ask him to go win a playoff game on the road.
Good luck.
Good fucking luck. Steve Ballmer, I'm going to tell you right now, look for this summer. If you hear some headlines about the Clippers looking to explore trade options, it is true. That's not a rumor. That's true. Steve Ballmer wants his money back in blood, and I think he's getting to the point where he's ready to blow this team up. And if I'm the GM, I'm ready to blow this team up too.
So that actually puts us in a great spot for – so tonight, our quick hitters, we're doing something a little different, play a little game, big deal or no deal. So we'll read a topic, and you tell me if it's a big deal or no deal. The first topic was Kawhi and his sprained knee. It sounds like T1 is a very big deal about Steve Ballmer. The Clippers can't catch a break. We're on the same page. It's a big deal. I'm with you. Steve Ballmer is going to call someone to see if he can trade either Paul George or Kawhi or both, because this is the 30 in a row. Ooh.
Now I got a question for you. Okay. If you had to choose one, who are you shipping?
If I can get anything for Kawhi. If I can get,
Thank you. That's
if I can get anything for Kawhi. Like, if I can get anything for Kawhi, I'll take it. Like, if I can, because the thing, like, at least Paul George make an effort to play in the regular season. Like, Kawhi does all this load management. He does all the, he takes every break you can to be ready for the playoffs. And again, like, this is like, I'm not knocking him for being injured, because you can't help that. Like, and I'm not saying that his injury is invalid. Like, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, like, from that perspective, he takes, we give him every break possible. And then he comes in, like, he balled game one. It's like, yes, this is why we did it. And now he's hurt and he's done for the year, and you're going to lose in the first round.
I was talking to my father about this. I was like, Dad, Steve Ballmer, between the two of them, that's 400 M's. 400 M's. No 400 M's on the court during playoff time.
Crazy.
That's the thing. After game one, you know what the you remember the narrative after that game one?
Oh, I was there.
Everyone was literally like, Kawhi can take all the time off in the regular season he needs. If he can come to the playoffs and play like this, gets hurt first game. Dog, that's in. And like, I understand Steve Ballmer. If he comes
hell
back,
yeah. Run,
I'm not doing this again. I can.
Nope.
What's the hell next one? I'm sick.
Let's. You talked about it earlier. Phil Jackson said that the social commentary from the bubble has kept him from watching the NBA for the past couple of years. Was he or was he not wearing a red hat when he made that statement?
People, if you're wondering why I'm geeking out laughing, this is the social commentary that Phil Jackson was saying he couldn't deal with. He was talking about back in the bubble when the NBA had Black Lives Matter on the court.
He saw
Phil Jackson said that is too much social political commentary for me. Please stop it. Go back to basketball. Shut up and dribble.
He saw the back of Luka's jersey, and he saw that in Slovenian. He's like, hell no. Absolutely not. That is it.
Son, I read that. I said, Phil Jackson, Black Lives Matter. That made you stop watching basketball? Phil Jackson, let me tell you something. If that's too much social political commentary for you, I know you can't watch the NFL. They got in racism in the end zone.
But, you know, Phil Jackson remembers the days when David Stern was like telling Allen Iverson, you look too much like a thug. Pull your pants up. And Phil's probably, yeah, tell that boy pull up his GD pants.
What makes me laugh is, yo, you remember in The Last Dance when they did the Phil Jackson episode and they made him out to look like a hippie who loved everybody?
So you know what? There's a clip that's resurfaced of Scottie Pippen on Dan Patrick's show. And Scottie was kind of like underhandedly saying that Phil was low-key racist. And Dan was like, so you're calling Phil Jackson racist? And Scottie was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, I am.
Like, when I because at first, when I first read the comment, I said, oh, he must be talking about like some of the comments made by like, you know, Jaylen Brown about like, you know, when some players like actually talk about the shit, that's what I thought he was talking about. And I was like, in a way, maybe I can understand, because maybe, you know, he wants to keep.
He said,
he was talking about the Black Lives Matter on the court. I couldn't believe it. I said, yo,
how can I concentrate on the game?
Saw LeBron he saw LeBron and AD run the pick and roll over Black Lives Matter and said, nope, stop it right now.
Do you think Phil Jackson refers to black people in plural form? Like, do you think he says the blacks?
Oh God. I'll take it a step further. Not only does he call them the blacks, he's definitely getting off you people in practice.
Yes.
What do you people think we're doing here? What do you think you people are here to do? What do you think you people get paid to do? Oh my God, I know he got that off.
Yo. What do you think he said to Kobe when he asked him, when Kobe said, yo, can you play some rap music during practice? Like, can we keep the energy up?
Oh man. He said rap music. Yeah, I know a little Bobby Caldwell. How you feeling about that?
He said we can play some Elvis. But no, we would not be listening.
He's probably like, oh, you want a little hip hop? Yeah. I got a mixtape by Frank Sinatra.
Oh, I got that new Big Willie Smith album. Yeah, put that on.
Oh, man. Yo, you remember that scene in The Last Dance when what artist was Michael dancing to? Oh, man. With the headphones on. Oh, my. It was like a country artist.
Yeah. Oh,
listen, if I come to find out that Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson got similar tastes in music, it's going to make a lot of sense why Mike told everyone, yo, I'm not playing to Phil Jackson. It's not my coach. It's all making sense now.
It's all making sense, dog.
Yeah, what if you found out that when Mike made the statement about Republicans buy shoes too, Phil Jackson just came out, dapped him up. Yeah, dog, you right.
I'll take it a step further. He got that from Phil. That was a Phil Jackson line. That's smooth, the Phil Jackson line.
Hey, Phil tapped him like, yo, Mike. You making a lot of money off these shoes. I know they're mostly for inner youth, you know, inner youth, but Republicans buy them too. You don't have to discount them.
You know how that conversation went? Mike, buddy. I get it, man, but those commercials with Spike Lee, he's doing a lot right now. And then you gotta know, man, like Republicans buy sneakers too, right? Do the Right Thing is really charging.
Oh my god, listen.
Hey, yo, yo, Jason, Mike tucks his shirt into his jeans. What do you think is going on?
What should we expect from a coach from Montana and a player who wears jeans? Who wears jeans with suit jackets?
Hey, yo.
Oh my gosh, I got a tear in my eye. Listen,
that's the line of the night.
What is next? Oh,
so
man.
We talked about it earlier, but this might be the funniest story of the week. Dylan Brooks said the media is villainizing him, which has kind of helped play a role in him being tossed in game three. Big deal or no deal?
Listen, that's a no deal. Let me tell you why. Dylan Brooks, one, nobody told you to say, I poke bears. I don't respect you unless you give me 40. No one told you to say, I want LeBron James first round, knock him out of the playoffs their first year back. No one told you to get a handful of LeBron nuts as he's trying to the crossover.
Big like, pause.
Pause. At what point, Dylan Brooks, do you got to look in the mirror and say, this one might be on me, dog. They got me. Dylan Brooks, this is what I'm going to say. This is what I really think is a big deal, Dylan Brooks. If you don't go out here and pop this shit about LeBron, don't run from the media afterwards, nope. Dog. You got to answer them questions. Listen, I want to take y'all back to 2011. The greatest player of all time and the then-built super team drop a series to a Dallas Mavericks team that they absolutely should not have lost at all.
But they did.
The greatest player ever goes on the podium, and when asked, basically, what do you have to say about people who are going to use this game and this series to criticize you? What do you have to say? And LeBron said something that I think way more athletes should say. Let me summarize this Cliff Note version for some of you who weren't there 12 years ago. He basically said, yo, at the end of the day, I'm going to go back. I'm going to work on my game. I'm going to come back and get better. But at the same time, at the end of the day, when I leave here, all you motherfuckers out here talking shit, you got to go back to doing exactly what you was doing before this game, before you was talking shit. What is that? UPS worker? FedEx worker? What? You got to go back to your regular day job. I'm going to go back to my house on sunny South Beach and start working after I take me and my family to Tulum for 3 weeks. What the fuck is up? We need more of that.
Yes, we do.
I actually would have respected Dylan Brooks had he came out and said, yeah, I said what I said, and LeBron cooked me. Okay, I can respect that. Can any of y'all cook me?
Here's the only thing about Dylan Brooks. You know you down bad with Doris Burke roast you on national television.
Doris Burke got him all the way out the fucking paint.
Doris said he doesn't bring athleticism. He can't shoot. he broke, he ashy. You look dusty, like Doris. When Doris out here talking about you like that?
Oh no, Doris! This is mid-batch. This is like in the middle of a game. She's like, I mean, she was like, you got to remember, like He doesn't bring elite athleticism to the floor. He's not really a shooter. He's not going to be looking to score. He's on the floor for his defense. Like, damn, Doris.
Damn, Doris.
Damn, Doris.
They didn't even talk about Ron Artest like that.
Nah, she did. Nah, this ain't no big deal. Dylan Brooks, you dug your hole, man. Lay in that bed, bro.
Yeah.
Lay in that bed. What's next?
All right, last basketball one. Ime Udoka is the new coach of the Houston Rockets. Big deal or no deal?
This is a big deal, dog.
Yes.
Let me tell you why. Ime, I'm going to look right in the camera when I say this. I'm gonna look right in the camera when I say this, Ime. If you thought them Boston things were a little bit expensive to get some shit off, you're going to be very happily surprised when you find out not only are they built like stallions, they rent about $800, $900. Give them a band. Give them $1,100 for the month. Tell them to take care of their bills. Boy, you think them Boston cakes you was getting under the table was fire? Wait till you get to Houston and see some of them stallions. I'm predicting right now, Ime Udoka and James Harden are about to be like Shaq and Kobe in them Houston strip clubs. Oh my good Lord. The numbers them two are about to put up.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Whoo. Ime. I see it.
Strip club Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah.
Ime. Always have an NDA on you, my friend.
Oh, he ain't playing with it no more. What Lola Brooks say? Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. He not playing with it no more, keep, man. He out of here.
Keep
man.
That NDA on you. Oh, so let's shift to football. Deion Sanders had almost 30 Colorado players hit the transfer portal in the last month, especially after their spring game spring Saturday. Game, yeah. Big deal. No deal.
It's not a big deal. Y'all bums won one game last year. I don't want to hear what the fuck y'all leave. We go win more than one game this year, so it's not like.
I will say,
get him out of here.
Shout out to the one kid who used the spring game as a tryout. I think he had 154 yards receiving and then jumped in the transfer portal.
Good, he was your leading receiver last year too.
Yeah, good for you, kid.
Good. Let it be known.
Word to the grapevine is that the Vikings are looking to make a splash trade for a QB. Do you believe it? And if you do believe it, how big of a deal is it?
I think now this I do think is a big deal because I actually think the Vikings, I mean, if you look at the timetable of some of the Vikings' recent transactions, right? I think they either franchised Kirk Cousins again or they didn't give him the long-term deal he may have been looking for. It makes a lot of sense that they're probably looking at Kirk Cousins saying, yo, dog, you came in the league when Andrew Luck was drafted. That was 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. You've been a good serviceable quarterback, so we know that you probably have one, maybe two more years, good years left in you. Will Levis, you, sir, a Minnesota Viking.
Which fits. I'm with
it
you.
It does fit.
We know what Kirk Cousins is. We know he can get you only but so far. If you aren't in contention for Super Bowls, you aren't really relevant. It's a big deal. I see the Vikings as well. They picked up Jefferson's fifth-year option this year. I think next year, hopefully.
Oh, they did? Start.
Yeah, they picked it up today. Renegotiate, get that man his money. The only way you can give that man the money he deserves is a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. You watch the Tank Davis, Ryan Garcia recap. I'll give you the ISO. I saw the highlights, but you know, I'm not a big boxing guy, so I'll leave it to you.
So you saw the knockout punch?
Yes, right in the ribs.
I think that was more of a liver. I ain't gonna hold you. It was a liver or a rib. It's right in that area. Listen. I saw some people basically say they were kind of underwhelmed. Listen, round two told me all I need to know. First round, Ryan Garcia, he had a lot of adrenaline. So he came out. He was trying to get aggressive on him. Second round, he found out why Tank is not the one. Because he got knocked down, clean hit. Boom, right in the side of the temple. Boom, down. Ryan got back up. I said, okay, he got a little bit of a chin. So then they start using rounds 3, 4, 5, 6. And 3, 4, 5, 6, Tank started feeling them out. That's when Tank realized he figured out reach, figured out timing. He realized that Ryan was the taller fighter, as you can imagine, but he wasn't using his height to his advantage. So you could clearly see the height advantage. Tank didn't really angle his punches to where he could take advantage of his height. Rule number one, if you are a taller guy fighting a shorter guy with a lower center of gravity, you do not know how to angle your punches to where you can take advantage of that reach, you, sir, are in a bind. You, sir, are with a bind. And that's pretty much what happened to him. And then in round eight, dog, this is how I know that punch was vicious. Real time, you saw the body punch. It was like, oh, that's a good body punch. But you did not think that was one of them shots. When Ryan took that step back and he thought about it, immediately went to a knee. Immediately went to a knee and said, no, I'm good. That's it. I saw a lot of y'all out here saying he threw that fight. It's how I know a lot of y'all either have not met someone who has fought a lot of people and can give you some game about this, or if you've never fought someone. Because ask a fighter which one they'd really take. The hardest face punch you could, the hardest punch to the face, or the hardest body punch. They're taking that face punch 9 times out of 10. You want to know why? Because a good body shot's going to do one of like three things. It's going to do one of two things. It's going to stun you immediately. You're going to feel paralyzed, especially hit you in that liver, because your body's going to essentially go into shock. Or if they hit you right in a good spot on that rib, then essentially like the rib bone cracks and breaks inward. Not it like punctures the lung. That's essentially kind of what happened. Ryan probably felt like he could go a little bit longer in that fight, but he knew if Tank hit him one more good time in that same area, he was going, now we're talking about some internal bleeding. How badly do you really want to box? That's what a body punch like that will do. Please, I beg y'all, watch that shot in slow motion. Excuse me. Watch that shot in slow motion and tell me, like, if your insides don't really hurt. Because mine hurt when I saw it. I said, ugh. Ryan, listen, respectable fight. I think those two have a big future in boxing. I think Tank is becoming slowly the next big super. Well, he is a superstar in boxing. I think Tank is ready to really take boxing, put it on his shoulders, and really start making more stars. I hope, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, I hope we see Shakur Stevenson and Tank Davis line up a fight, because I think that would be a really good one. And that would be a big East Coast DMV, because Shakur's from Jersey. Javante's from Baltimore. So that's a big, have them fighting in like the Garden. Woo! That'd be lit. So.
Yes, Stanley Cup.
Before we get into the Stanley Cup, yeah. I like Kyle mentioned if we want to discuss dynasty trades. Yes. I think we should.
Let's abandon everything else and talk about dynasty trades.
Yeah.
Outside of Snowfall.
Yes. So, as most of you may or may not know, Danny and I are in a 10-team dynasty league. And in 11 days, so Sunday, May 7th, we actually have our rookie draft. Three-round draft, 10 teams. I can see that over the last week, especially leading up to the actual NFL draft on Thursday, there's been a lot of movement. I've seen a lot of trades go through. I see a lot of people trying to push trades through. I'm fairly confident that, you know, behind the scenes, there's a lot of people working to get trades done.
Yep.
As a commissioner, I like this time of the year. I like seeing some of the trades that are coming through. I'm trying to do my absolute best to avoid saying trades are good or bad, because I think as a commissioner, I'm starting to realize my voice kind of has a little bit of power in our league, because people actually respond to me, and like they be looking, and because I'm obviously the commissioner. So I try to stay fair in trades. I've been liking a lot of the action that's been going on. I want to highlight a trade that recently happened between Danny and Kyle, because mm-hmm. I really like this trade for both teams. So, Danny, I'm going to say the trade, and then I'm going to let you kind of talk about how you and Kyle got into this. So, Danny receives tight end Greg Dulcich from the Denver Broncos and pick 203 in this year's draft. And Kyle gets TJ Hockenson. I'm not going to lie, I love this trade for both of you. I thought this was a really good trade for both of you. Oh, brother, here they come. Here come the Jets fans. J-E-T-S, Jets. What's good, Dominic? But yeah, Danny, I'm going to be honest. I really like this trade for both of you. I think Kyle, after the down year last year, if I'm right, I think Kyle is basically pushing some chips in the table and saying, I think this team can contend this year. Mm-hmm. I think for you, Danny, I'm looking at what you're trying to do. I think you're saying, let me build some depth and try to build behind the horses that help me win a championship. And while also picking up a few draft picks, because I think you're trying to get your Howie Roseman on and build on what you have. while also building up draft picks? Because I think you're trying to make a big splash trade. Like, I really think you're trying to make a big splash trade with all these draft picks you're trying to get. I'll let you talk to the rest of it, though.
So that trade, it took me, Cal sent it to me. It took me a second because I love TJ Hockenson. TJ helped me win a championship last year, but you're right. I have a lot of depth at tight end. Dolce, before he got hurt, he was doing okay. I think he'll be fine. And you're trying to get him from me, and I'm really thinking about that now too because I don't know if I'm going to do that deal because I'm really leaning heavily on him right now. The draft picks, you're right. I'm a big believer in flexibility. I value flexibility, whether that's through draft picks with roster spots. So right now I currently have 5 draft picks, 3 in the first round. I wanted to jump back into the second round, and I was able to do that, and it's a high second round pick. So that was the deal sealer for me because I had 3 first, none in the second.
Now you got to
have the last pick in the third. I have 3-10. So like I really wanted to jump in the second round, preferably early in the second round. So like now my top 4 picks, like I can get some real game changers that can make a difference this year, but also as I move forward. And that could potentially include a top tier tight end or a good tight end in this class. It just depends on how the board falls. I can make a splash trade, but I'm not desperate to make one. Like I'm not going to, like no one's going to be out here ripping me off because I have 3 first round picks and a high second. Like if someone wants to do business for a high caliber player, I'm open to doing business. But at the same time, I am not desperate to do business. So
I easily can see Stephon Diggs in your line of sight if that's something you're interested in.
He is. I've thought about Stephon Diggs. I know he's a little bit older, and I don't want to I want to contend now, but I also want to think about the future because he's getting older. There are some people with some receivers that I've reached out about, tested the waters, and they think they're just going to rip me off. They're asking for like 104. No, like 104. It better be Jamar or Jetta.
What about Tyreek?
Or hey, do you want to do this on air?
No.
You sure?
Tyreek's not moving anywhere.
Say, don't tip me with Tyreek, because
I ain't gonna play with you. Tyreek's not moving anywhere. He's my cornerstone. He's like my cornerstone wide receiver.
Okay, don't play with, because I made a run for Kyle Pitts last night, got denied. Like everyone wants 104. And 104, like 104 is for Jetta or Jamar. That's it.
Or A.J. Brown. I feel like you would take an A.J. Brown. I
already have Devontae.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
So, like, that's it. Like, 104 is my, like, 104 is not going anywhere unless it's for Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson deal.
Yeah, I like the trade. I really like what you and Kyle are both doing. I think, yeah, Kyle confirmed that he is trying to win this year, and, you know, I'm correct. He also said he's looking through his dynasty portfolio. He had 0 shares of TJ Hockenson and wanted to get an elite tight end. I don't blame you at all.
I'll say this too. Kyle, 104 is potentially on the table for CeeDee Lamb. Potentially.
I'm a commissioner. I'm just here to commission. I will say this. I also want to highlight another trade made this week, and that was between, I believe it was between myself and Kyle. I think me and Kyle got a, yes, we did. So last week, I know me and Kyle on air, we're trying to maybe work out a deal. I hit up Kyle weeks ago, interested in Sky Moore. Mm-hmm. Took us a lot of negotiating, a lot of deal offers. Kyle, I'm going to be honest with you. I really like our deal too. So I received Sky Moore and pick 309, which was originally Gator J's pick. And I gave Kyle your second round pick, which was 210 that I got in the Deontay Johnson, Mark Andrews trade last year. I'm going to be honest. I like this trade for both of us for a couple of reasons. I'll talk about my end, and then I'll talk about why I think I like this for Kyle. So for me, I wanted a piece of the Kansas City wide receiving core because with Juju gone and seeing how their offense moved in their postseason run, particularly in the Super Bowl, I definitely see Sky Moore having a bigger impact on the Chiefs offense. And I also I couldn't seem to be able to get Justin Ross from the guy who had him. So I wanted to get some sort of Chiefs wide receiver core that's not Travis Kelce. Okay. Kyle wanted to move back into the second round. I wanted, and I essentially wanted more picks because you took my first round pick. So I was happy. Like I was all I needed. I was cool with getting rid of a second because I had 208 and 210. And my thoughts is between 208 and 210. Well, I know who I'm probably going to take at 208. My 210, I still think that player is going to be there at 308. So
gotcha.
So now I have 208, 308, and 309. 308 and 309, I think, are going to be some key positions for me, which is why I've been trying to why I've been thinking about trading for a tight end using 309. But if it doesn't bite and no one wants it, then I know how I'm gonna attack the draft. And that's why I'm standing firm on when I came into the chat yesterday, I said, yo, if anyone wants Alan Lazard for either a serviceable tight end or like a second or a third round pick, please talk to me. Cause like we'll get this deal done. You know, of course people tried to lowball me like, no, I'm not doing that.
Kyle, you said it would take more than 104 to get CeeDee Lamb. Let's do this right now. I will give you 104 in Deontay Johnson for CeeDee Lamb.
Kyle, please say no. Deontay Johnson. Crazy. Kyle.
All right. I'll up the ante then. Since we're, hold on. Let me go to your team.
Kyle, if you don't tell him to put 104 and Devontae Smith on the line right now,
Devontae is untouchable.
Look at you. CD's untouchable.
I'm going to Kyle's. Kyle, all right. I will give you 104. Mike Evans.
Already no.
And 310 for CeeDee Lamb.
Kyle. I'm trying to be a commissioner here.
Yo, why are you talking right now?
I'm trying to be a commissioner here. Look at you. No, that's a great point. So for those who are following the audio adventure, Kyle says to Danny's offer, you see, I'm thinking like you, Danny. I want to use a CeeDee Lamb to get either Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase. So okay. No deal. I don't want Mike Evans. Yeah, Kyle, I can tell you. He's also tried to send me Mike Evans, and I keep telling him, dog, who's Mike Evans going to be catching the ball from?
Listen, I'm just out here trying to be as fair as I can.
It's so funny how I think our outlooks on our teams going into this season is totally different. You're thinking about trying to repeat. I'm thinking about just how to be competitive because I'm looking at my team and I'm saying, I don't know if this upcoming year is the year. Like, obviously, I'm going to play to try to win, but I don't know if this upcoming year is the year.
Well, so here's the thing for me, right? I think we can say that last year, all the breaks went my way. Oh, right,
motherfucking right, it did.
The Mike Evans game,
yeah, beat me in that second round matchup. But yeah, you're
all
right.
The breaks went my way. I understand that, so I need to build a roster that can compete week in and week out. But I also need to think about the future, mm-hmm. And that's where I am right now, right? Because all the breaks are going to will not go my way next year. So I need to build a competent roster, and that includes an elite pass catcher of some sort. And that's kind of where I am right now.
Yeah. So the way I look at it on the inverse for my team, I look at it and I was like, yo, I was one of the top two seeds. Like, I had one of the two best records in the league last year. Mm-hmm. So this team, even if everyone was just to come back, if I was to bring back 85% of my team, the core of my team should keep me competitive. So that's why I've really been trying to been focusing a lot on my trades on draft picks this year, because once you lose your first round pick, now it's like, okay, well, now I'm really just drafting for death. I'm clearly not going to get one of the best players at their position coming out of the draft. So let's try to build depth. But I'm holding my 2024 draft picks and my 2025 draft picks close to the chest. I don't even want to offer them up to anyone anymore because one, I think there's going to be some good players that come out next year. And two, if by chance this, like, let's just say, start things off, Lamar and the Ravens never come to agreement and he ends up just not playing for him. So he's just sitting on the bench. So now my best quarterback, I got to input, I'm already down a horse because now I got to input Jared Goff. Now I got to pray for a Jared Goff hell of a season. I think for me and my team, we're competitive as is. We're like the Colts for two, from like, we're like the way I look at my team, we are the Colts the year after they traded Andrew Luck, or okay, the year after Andrew Luck retired. It's like the year before, we probably should have won it all, but we didn't because shit didn't fall our way. And now the roster is what it is. And now I'm just trying to keep it together as best as I can. But I can tell you right now, I know next year, put it like this. Next year, I know who I want. If he's there, no one's going to stop me from getting him. Cool. If I have the draft capital, I'm going to trade to try to get him. If I don't, well, then we're going to stink and I'm going to do my damnedest to win a consolidation bracket. And that's where I'm at with my team. Like, I think we're going to be competitive, but I don't know. But then I also look at my team. I got Lamar, JT, D. Henry, you know, Tyreek leading my wide receiving core. I got Mark Andrews. I got George Pickens. I got depth. Who knows? If they pay out, they pay out. It'll be good. We can finally get to Snowfall. I'm ready to ISO this one out.
ISO.
Listen, folks, especially to my African-American brothers and sisters out here. Every so often, there comes television shows that are so culturally impactful and important that when the series finale comes, it's a cultural moment. And you always kind of remember where were you when X series ended? I remember where I was when I watched that last episode of Game of Thrones. I remember how mad I was watching that last episode of Game of Thrones. Gave me a lot of PTSD. That is my favorite show ever. And to end it like that, I'm still mad at him. So another one of my favorite shows in Snowfall, when you hear that it's the last season, you start getting worrisome because you want to just make sure they're ending the series off right. I want to start by saying I want to salute the writers of Snowfall for coming back this sixth season and really closing a lot of holes and really ending this on a really, really good note. That series finale was so gut-wrenching and so realistic. It was so realistically gut-wrenching, I should say, that I knew it was a good season series ending. That is how you end a series of that type of show. Obviously, when you end like a sitcom, you're likely going to end it on good terms or someone's going to be moving. But when it comes to like these shows, especially like drug trafficking focused shows, the ending, there should never be a good ending in any of these. There should literally never be a good ending. This ending was so real, like gut-wrenchingly realistic. The more I thought about it, I couldn't poke holes in how this ended. I couldn't poke holes because it was... So you know, like when a show, like when you be like sick for the, like sick as hell for how, like the main character, that's when you know the acting was superb, the writing was superb, the character development was superb. There was a lot of good character development in this, particularly this last season. I really, really want to just take my hats off because this was what a hell of a way to end a series. Franklin Saint will go down as one of my favorite all-time TV characters, right up there with Tony Soprano. Man, and it's really something because when it comes to these drug trafficking like shows, you find yourself rooting for the main character, but you also know they are a piece of shit.
Yes.
When you watch The Sopranos in your heyday and your prime, you couldn't tell me that you didn't look at Tony Soprano like, yo, dog, you a dope dude in a way, but you are the devil.
Yes. Oh, I hated Tony. Like every time I hated Tony.
Really?
Hated. There was nothing endearing about Tony to me. He was a racist. He was a terrible husband. He was low key. Well, he wasn't. Like he cheated on his wife. Like there's nothing. Like when I know we don't know how The Sopranos ends, it's up to the viewer. But I was so excited at the thought that someone was coming to kill Tony. Like I hated Tony.
Really?
I hated Tony. It's funny. I hated everyone in that show except Meadow.
No. What type of crack is... Bookmark that because I'm going to come back to you on that one. I'm going to come back to you
everyone
on that
one. But Meadow. Dog, they all suck.
Carmella, I could have given you. I would have been like, yeah,
I ain't like Carmella.
Fam. What was your beef with Chris?
Chris was a snake.
What about What's slick haired guy with the slick hair? His right hand man.
Paulie?
Paul, not Paulie, the other one.
Oh, the strip club owner.
Yes, with the nose.
He killed Christopher's girlfriend.
Son.
She was a rat. I get it.
Thank you. What the fuck did you think he was about to do?
He just, you know, I didn't like him. I didn't like Paulie. Paulie was a snake.
I thought Paulie was kind of a bitch ass, you know what. I thought he had some real bitch ass, you know what moments.
Yes, he did.
But Tony, I don't know. It's something that, and honestly, I think that goes to the acting by both James Gandolfini and by Damson. I'm just going to call him Damson.
Lori Harvey's
piece. That's how great of acting they did. By the end of Snowfall, I understood how he got in the position that he got himself in. Because it was like, yo, dog, you spiraled out of control. Like, you got too money. It wasn't even about the money. It was a power and control thing. Same thing that I think led to Tony's downfall. It's a power and control thing. It don't even be about the money. Don't you find that crazy? And this is the last thing, and then we can get this thing out of here. Don't you find it crazy that in these shows, they do all this for the money, right? Yep. They say it's all about making money, but the more you watch them, it's never really about the money because they can always make the money back. It's all about the power and the control.
That's right.
And that, people, I think is a microcosm for this world and for this country, because the real problem isn't money. It's the people with money that have power, because when you have money, you have power. When you have power, you have control. When you have control, it's addicting. Can't shit.
I think the saying is absolute power corrupts absolutely.
All the time.
Something like that.
All the time. It's. That's why. But, listen.
D, where can the people find you?
People, you already know you can find the kid at Los D Mix. That is LOSDEEMIX. That is on Instagram. That's on Twitter. It's on YouTube. That's on Twitch. Make sure you guys follow the pod. Speak on it_pod. Make sure you guys send your emails. Speakonitpod14@gmail.com. Email some questions. We'll definitely make sure we answer them live. We definitely love that. And as always, Jay, Kyle, fucking Dominic, Gator Jay, anyone else who's listening, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for pulling up. And if you get a chance, definitely pull up to the live stream. We love chatting. We love hearing some of the thoughts as Denny and I try to unpack some of this stuff. And a lot of you guys' thoughts or suggestions and whatnot, it really gets my mind thinking, because it offers me some new perspectives I didn't even think about. So shout out to y'all, and thanks for the love for what is coming up on 100 episodes.
Yes, for 100. If you guys have anything, I have some ideas for 100D. We can talk about it off air, but if there's anything you guys want to talk about, if any of our loyal viewers like Kyle, if anyone wants to jump on with us to talk about their favorite moment or just kick it with us, if you guys want to see something for 100, 100 is very special. I know it's special to both of us. A lot of shows don't make it to 100 episodes. So it would really be nice. I might come on here drunk. I might come over here with a little drink. I usually don't drink on Tuesdays, but I might next week because it's 100.
We should feel proud, my man. I think one of the most impressive aspects of the show is how we, week in, week out, show up. And we're both working men. We're both working men. So we find time for this. We find time to work on the social posts, get all the stuff for the pod that, you know, people kind of don't see that behind the scenes stuff. We be rocking out, be you and me. So
it's definitely a passion project for sure, because we don't get paid for it. But shout out to Jeff and Going for Two for, you know, throwing us in the lineup. Again, 100 shows. I think it's been 2.5 years. It feels like our first show was the Super Bowl after Mahomes lost to Brady. And we've been going strong ever since.
Since then, Mahomes has already won another Super Bowl.
He's already won another Super Bowl. You can find me on the Bird app, DannyOcean41. Again, speakonit_pod, Twitter and Instagram. Shoot us an email, speakonitpod14@gmail.com. Jay, shout out to the 2-point conversion. Like, y'all are killing. It's so much good content all around. It's a great time to be here. Again, catch us Friday. Catch Going for Two all draft night, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's draft coverage from the start of the draft to the end. And catch us Friday night at 7 on the dot. We're going to go over round one. We're going to talk about picks in real time. If people want to hop on and kick it with us, like, we're going to sit here, have some fun. I might have a glass of wine. We'll see. We'll see you guys on Friday. But again, come back next week, episode 100. Hopefully we can do something special.
Can't wait for old Will Levis to be taken number one overall, and Carolina just pulled the whoop-de-doo on every fucking body.
Hey, yo, what are the odds of that? Like, if the odds are high, I might put a couple dollars on that, because that would be hilarious.
Apparently, Will Levis has actually kind of been telling – I've read a report that Will Levis has been letting some people know that the Vikings are potentially going to trade up to go get him.
Okay. We'll see.
Fam, I'm going to tell you right now, if the Vikings trade with the Texans – like trade up with the Texans at number two so they can take Will Levis at number two. I promise you, if the Packers don't go so hard to take Jackson Smith and Njaba at 13,
it's gonna happen.
I ain't gonna say it.
We will see you guys on Friday, and then we'll be back here next week for episode 100. D, do you have something for us to ride out to?
You know what? Let's go back to the Dutty One.
Hey.
I'm back on it. Hey. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, appreciate the love. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. So make sure you speak on it.
Peace.